Hey, greetings, everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, I want to come to you today and bring you something that will edify you, hopefully teach you, and get you to think. Today, I want to talk about art, children, and the saint of God. Art, children, and the saint of God. I want to discuss today the topic of art and how it reflects on children and or how it can reflect or affect children and followers of Christ. All this came about because we got an email from the other side of the world, directly the other side of the world, pretty amazing. And a lady saint was asking about art in the life of her children that she's trying to raise up to be godly, to follow Christ. And we promised her a teaching on this because we don't really have a teaching on this particular topic. We've got a teaching on, you know, other things related to it somewhat. But we wanted to do a teaching on this. First, Sister Debbie was going to do it. And then we talked about it and said, this is really something that a teaching that should come from me because it's more general and not just really a Titus II ladies issue. So I want to attempt to cover this today. And of course, I'm addressing born-again, blood-bought saints that have come to new life via the gospel, faith, and repentance in Christ's perfect work. Go to don'tperish.com, look up the gospel, and test yourself. Make sure that you're not just a churchianity person, you're not just believing something that's not of the Father, that you truly are born again. So, for this teaching, what I want to do is I want to base it all on one key verse that is kind of a ministry life verse for us. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So you see, Paul is saying all these things that we should focus on. He did these things. We're to example and model him. And so we need to be doing that same thing. Amen? So the life of a transformed saint of God should always be full of these qualities. Good, pure, true, what's noble, worthy, that list I just gave you. And so we test all things that we're involved in to that. And that would include things like art as well. Now, I like to point this out to people. Jesus and the disciples and the prophets, they ate and slept. They studied God's word. They fellowshipped with true saints. They did labor and ministry work. And they went and recreated themselves in prayer and time away in God's creation. That's about all they did. They weren't into hobbies. They weren't into art. They weren't into the culture. You ponder that. What should we be if we're following after Christ and these awesome examples of the faith? In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, imitate him as he imitates Christ. That's a command. So let's ponder that as we think about art. And in discussing art, I want to break it down to two areas. I mentioned art, children, and the followers of Christ. So I want to talk about children, and then I want to talk about the follower of Christ. So art regarding children, and then art regarding the follower of Christ. Now, we raise children. They're all grown and gone. When I think of children, it's easy to see little ones holding a crayon, learning to write their name or new letters, drawing a flower, cutting and gluing things together, using pipe cleaners to make something. And usually it's, if it's good, pure, and true, they're doing things like duplicating God's creation, God's animals, God's scenery, painting a water picture. Something that is peaceful, good, true, lovely. And this is all a good thing. This creates, it brings out creativity in them. And it's needed skills for the future. Learning to write, learning to communicate, learning motor skills. Okay? I believe that if it's done rightly, art for a small child is good, pure, and true. It's a way to help a growing child attain the appropriate skills they need to become a mature adult and function for the kingdom of God, right? So it covers motor skills. They learn colors. They learn about the creation of earth and his animals. They learn their writing, ABCs, their name. And again, it creates thinking and it encourages creativity, which boys need if they're going to make a living, whether they're a carpenter or a farmer. And for young girls, which are probably going to grow up to be Titus II homekeepers, creativity in a home and how to run a home and take care of a family. And so they do lots of home things, cooking, and they work with babies and they learn nurturing. Young boys might be a little bit more adventurous, want to build forts, want to build things out of wood, little vehicles, you know, little wagons, things like that. And so these are all good, pure, and true things for children to do that can be art forms. I think a real key we have to remember to raising children is the sole goal to raise up children is that they become mature, sober, godly adult saints. It's not to keep them as small children for a long time. It's to introduce them to how to be godly saints and to keep them from later acquiring sin and habits in their life, right? That's the goal. I think far too many parents, their goal is to keep their children like children longer because they love them so much and they don't want them to grow up too fast. And the problem with that is you got 25-year-olds walking around acting like 12-year-olds. Yeah, I've seen it. And what's wrong with a 12 or 13-year-old growing up and being godly? Did you know in the Jewish culture, a young boy was considered a man at about 12 or 13. And in history, people got married very young because they were mature. Maybe they didn't live as long back then. Now we got people in their 30s and they're still acting like teenagers. So I just give you that example that your goal is to train your child up to become a godly adult saint. And art can be part of teaching them needed skills as a small child. And it must be done in wisdom. All right. So using these things that are godly. Of course, we don't have them doing Disney movies, secular cartoons, worldly scenes. And we don't have them doing evolution or carnal materialism. No, we have them doing God's animals, God's earth, writing God's word, writing scriptures. You see what I'm saying? You're building a foundation and a platform in them to be holy people of God, not to be worldly and carnal. So art can play a part in that if we meet that Philippians 4:8 model of good, pure, and true in all things. All right. And we don't want to hinder their growth to become young adults. If you have a child that can become really mature at 14 and be like, wow, they handle adult responsibilities, don't push them down at 10 and 11 and keep them like a small child. Let God grow them up in His time. All children are different. We know that. So art is a training up tool for children. And again, boys will do one thing, girls will do another thing. And it teaches them creativity, motor skills, diligence, all good thing, right? So we need to build this up in our children, and we can use drawing and writing and colors and God's creation as a model, and it forms them for the vocation they'll be in the future, whether it's a keeper at home, a man in the business world, maybe running his own business, something good, pure, and true. And then they move on from childish things, and they move on to adult things. That's the goal. So you bring them through the art, but you don't keep using crayons, right? You leave that behind. You used to use diapers. You don't use that anymore. You used to get food all over your face. Now you don't do that. You see how you move from a child to an adult. Paul said it well. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So here's the danger that art can be useful as a child, but then it can bleed into your adult life and it can sweep you away. We're going to talk about that. We don't want to train our children to fall into that ditch. I want to say it again. Art can be a useful thing in children, but it must never be allowed or taught as an idle thing, as a great time-consuming thing, or even as a hobby, and we'll cover that. It must be used as a learning tool to move them along, to grow the skills they need to become mature adults. So art for children, done with wisdom and discernment. I see no problem. Keep it good, pure, and true. Keep it biblical, and then move them on up to an adult. Now, when we talk about art and adults, we're going to use the same Philippians 4:8 idea, what's good, pure, and true. All right, that's got to work. Jesus says, as adults, we must be wise as serpents, right? All right. And Peter says in 1 Peter 15, we're to be holy. That means set apart in all our ways. So everything we do as adults should be holy, good discernment, good wisdom. Yeah, that's how we're going to walk as followers of Christ. Now, I think I can speak to this because as a pagan, I had a vast art background. I was a commercial artist, a cartoonist. I did all kinds of things. Then when I became a Christian, I put all that away, and I did become an art, a wood carver for a short season, and I would make furniture. Sometimes I would carve name signs. Sometimes I would carve animals, and I did that as a follower of Christ for a few years, and so I can speak well to this, and I see three main areas in the adult art world that I think we need to look out for, or a mention, I should say, and of course look out for. Three main areas. So the first one would be the casual hobby art, all right? The second one would be fine art, the passion for fine art. And the third one would be making a living, good, pure, and true, from using some type of art. So we're going to cover all three of these quickly. Now, the casual art hobby is things like, you know, doing your own paintings, quilting, making stained glass, and people do it for fun. They're not doing it for a living. And while it's not sinful to do hobbies, if they aren't sinful themselves, like people paint like worldly carnal pictures of war scenes and fighting or immodesty, unbiblical dress, things like that. If they are biblical, I'm not going to say they're sinful, but I have a question. Why do it as an adult? Is it a fleshly thing? Is it something you like? Is it something you're doing as a needed training for a skill that you need as an adult? Well, those should all be learned up and you are ready. Reading, writing, right? Arithmetic, all that stuff that you need, basic stuff. Are you able to make an income out of it? Or are you making a usable item? A quilt? Oh, yeah, that could keep people warm and that'd be a great thing. But, you know, little stained glass things to hang on people's walls, that can be questionable and it could also be all right. Depends upon the situation. So you have to ask yourself, if you do art as a hobby and for the love of it, is it, like I said, fleshly? Is it idle? Is it consuming your time when you could be doing far better things for the kingdom of God? I have a question. Could you ever imagine Peter or Paul taking up hobbies in their spare time? Or did they take up their cross daily for Christ? Think about that. And that's that thing about children. We don't want our children to take the things we've taught them as a teaching tool to then make them hobbies that then keeps them from pursuing the kingdom of God most of all. Matthew 6:33, seek God's kingdom and its righteousness and all things will be added unto you. If you're seeking your hobbies and your art form first and not the kingdom, you're not going to get there, right? So think about that. Peter and Paul, they take up hobbies or do they pick up their cross and follow Christ? It's an interesting thing. Ephesians 5 says we're to be redeeming the time. Is sitting making little things that really don't make you money to support yourself, really aren't a needed thing, and are they really just vain things that do we really need them? Those are things you need to ask yourself. Not saying it's always sinful, but you need to contemplate what you're doing with your time when it comes to these art hobbies. Next, we see people getting caught up in the passion of fine art. Yep, very expensive things, you know, like paintings and sculpture, things like this, that the world esteems highly. That reminds me of Luke 16. God talks about what the world esteems highly, God abhors. Fancy, expensive, extreme, fine art. Does that sound like something that fits in with the kingdom of God on this earth, seeking Him, preaching the gospel, calling sinners to salvation? I don't think it does. You have to ask yourself, what is the art form you're involved in? Is it of God, or is it of my flesh because I really love it? Is it godly and pure, or is it of the world? It's carnal, it's inappropriate. Is it building the kingdom of God? Is it a good witness to those around you? Or is it really worldly and vain? It's vanity. We'll get to that in a scripture verse at the end here. So people will often go and they get fine art degrees and they spend massive amount of time and effort and money, thousands and millions. You've heard where paintings sell for $50 million. What's the wisdom? Is that foolishness before a holy God? It's not godly in most cases. It's not good use of time. And it's really not a good use of resources. Why? Well, we'll get to that. What did Jesus say about treasures on earth? Well, we'll talk about that. And like I said, children get caught up quickly in these worldly art forms. And if we teach them wrongly as they're young, they can end up falling in this ditch and we're partially to blame. So we got to use the art with children, pull it back from them. Us adults got to be careful how much we use the art forms as we're serving the kingdom of God. Now, I know people are going to say, well, hey, I make big money off this fine art. I'm selling high-dollar items. I support my family with that. Well, remember what I just mentioned? Go read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talked about not seeking treasures on earth and putting your money there. How do you sell a piece of paint, paper with paint on it for $500,000 or $1 million, even $50,000, and think that this is in the economy of God and if it squares with God's word and its truth? I don't see that it does. I think that it's worldly, it's covetous, it's greedy, it's gainful, it's extreme for fitting this into the things of God is what I believe. So we really got to be careful there. I think it's earthly and not of the life of a true saint. And I was a commercial artist, and I almost got lured into fine art one time. I know and I see it's a real trap. People wanting to own rare pieces of art to make money on them, or people want to strive to be a recognized artist and make money. Think about that. That's puffing yourself, lifting yourself up. Yeah. Trying to seek treasure. Paul says if you seek to be rich, you fall into a snare. So fine art is very, very, in general, a fleshly. I believe it's a waste of precious time that we have on this earth to live the gospel for Christ, preach the kingdom of God to the lost. Fine art just doesn't really have a place, I don't believe, in the kingdom of God here on earth. I want to ask you another question. Can you imagine Jesus getting caught up in the fine art of the Roman Empire that he lived in? Jesus worried about Roman pictures and Roman sculptures? I think not. He said, I'm here to do my Father's will. Guess what? That's what we're supposed to be doing as well. So art as a hobby, dangerous. Art as a fine art pursuit, I think it's also dangerous. The last one I want to cover is art involved in making a good, pure, and true living. Now, this one I think is doable, and it's got possibilities in various areas. I don't know what art you'd be involved in. I mean, there's people that make nice little chicken coops, and they do them very nicely. That's an art form. There's people that make furniture. There's some people that make cards. There's people that paint simple pictures, and they sell them as an income. These are all art forms, and I think there's some validity to some of them. We have to be careful that our conscience isn't seared where we're doing things for wasteful time when we could be doing something more meaningful. I was a wood carver, and I enjoyed making furniture, tables, benches, needed things that people would use and had real value. Then I got into carving like name signs, and people wanted me to put animal pictures on it, and I started carving small animals, which are not graven images. Graven images are something you worship. These were just replication of what God created in heaven. And I eventually got out of it, and here's why. And I could have stayed in it, could have made good money. A lot of it wasn't sinful, but a lot of it was. I saw the uselessness in it all. For me personally, called to go preach the gospel. A lot of the requests I got were worldly. Hey, can you make a Buddha? Can you make a mermaid? Can you make, you know, Bigfoot, evolutionary animals? And I just had to turn down so much business. It started really getting to my conscience. And also, I was getting good at it, and I started selling my pieces for a lot more money. And it really started bothering me that I would make a nice big piece of furniture, and I would sell it for $650, and people were happy. I'm not saying it's sinful. I don't think I was sinning in it. But it got to my conscience where I said, is this really how you want to spend your time? And for me, I didn't need to keep doing it. And I could have scaled it down and made more money doing other simpler things. I decided to leave it completely. Sister Debbie and I decided to travel, go preach the gospel, teach, make disciples. And so I got out of it. The other big reason I got out of it was this. When you're an artist, I don't care if you play a guitar, worldly guitar. I don't care if you worldly dance. I don't care if you worldly do paintings or you sing. When you're good at it, people stroke your ego. Oh, you're so awesome. Oh, you are so talented. Oh, I can't wait to see what you do or hear you sing. You see what I mean? And this really bothered me. I didn't like that at all. I want to decrease so Christ can increase. John 3:30. Becoming an artist and using your skills in the wrong way in the art world can cause this problem. So art tends to puff people up. Like I said, music, dancing, sports, any kind of artistry, the worldly, carnal stuff, it's not good. We're to be lowly and seek to be humble servants, not be lifting ourselves up. So we have to use great wisdom if we want to make money from art. Right, I don't believe in selling any of the things of God, things with scripture verses on them. I think that's totally sinful. But what are you going to choose to generate income from as an art form. You have to be very careful in that because there's a lot of conscience issues. There's a lot of bad witness issues. There's a lot of sin that can come from that. And then as you do it, you should be looking for ways to share the gospel as well. God gave you a talent. If you have a talent, you can use it in a godly way. Like I said, if you can make chairs, you can make furniture or benches and you sell them. Nothing sinful about that. It's an art form. You can make cutting boards and sell them as an art form. I personally would have a hard time making fancy cutting boards and selling them for $187 like I see people do. Would I make $20 cutting boards? To me, that seems more appropriate for a simple, lowly servant of God that doesn't want people spending their money on expensive things. Consider, we live off-grid and we live in our van. We live very, very, very low, very small, very meager to make our resources go longer, and we want to protect our witness. We don't want to look like we love worldly, expensive things of this culture. So that's why I'm telling you the art form you get involved in, you must be very, very careful. I say keep it low, keep it meager, keep it small, live meager, and you don't need to make as much money. Then you can focus more on the gospel. Amen? So I don't see sin in making money from an art form as long as it's good, pure, and true, and you're looking to share the gospel in it and giving God glory in it. Art is like so many other things in life. Think about it. Is you must do it rightly, and you must do it not too much or in a wrong way, or it becomes sin. I'm thinking of things like food. You eat too much, you're a glutton. Exercise, nothing wrong with taking a walk. It's good to take care of your temple, keep it in shape. But you start lifting weights and you're worried about how your physique looks, now you're in sin. How about sex? Sex is a wonderful thing between a husband and wife. You take it outside of the marriage, now you're in sin. How about making money? You need money to provide for your family. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to seek to be rich. You don't need fancy things. You don't need a high standard of living. So you see how all these things can become sinful in the wrong situation. Art is just like that. So be very careful. Art with your children, art as a hobby, art as fine art pursuits and your passion, art trying to make a living. Be very careful. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, Paul says, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So Paul is saying he can do a lot of things, but not all things are good for him. So you could sell a lot of things for art and make money. I don't think it's good for your witness. It may not be good for your ego. Very, very careful you must be. So in recap, art can be used for children when done rightly for teaching and training as they're small. Then when they bring up, you need to pull that back and teach them how to be godly, obedient, lowly, humble servants following Christ. Art for hobbies or fine art, dangerous, slippery slope. Be very careful. I tell people, always lean towards God, not towards your flesh in the world. If you do lean towards God, I don't think you'll get caught up too much in art and fine art, hobbies, things like that. I was in the art world and I leaned towards God. I ran right out of the art world for the most part. And other than my wood carving that I did for a few years, then I said, you know what? This isn't a good idea for a godly man that wants to be a preacher. I needed to get out of it. Not saying you couldn't do it and make a living. You can make furniture. You can make cutting boards. You can make useful items. You can make wagons. Okay, you could even make birdhouses if that's to, there you go. You can make birdhouses. People buy them for $10 or $20, put it by their window and teach children about God's creation, how the birds come and make nests. Good, pure, true, lowly, humble, meager. I wouldn't recommend you selling diamond-studded $1,000 birdhouses. You see my point? I hope you can understand that. So, and making living to doing art to make a living is doable. But as I just gave you examples, don't let it become an idol. Don't let it steal your time. Make sure you keep control and you master it. Don't let it master you. We know a dear saint, a young woman, who sews and sells her wares. It's awesome. She makes money. She provides for herself. So example, a woman could make a plain handbag for carrying needed items for babies or for her or whatever, simple food items. But if she makes it fancy and decorates it and sells it for a whole bunch of money, then I think she's in sin. Thankfully, this saint doesn't do that. She's a godly young woman. She keeps things plain and simple and unadorned. 1 Peter 3 says, don't adorn yourself. So anything you put on your temple, you should not be adorning. And we must be very careful, even what we adorn our house with. If we live simple, low, meager lives, but that people show up at our house and they go, oh, you have a $5,000 sculpture on your wall. Or, oh, you've got this fancy thing. Yeah, that cost me $257. And you go, oh, they see what you value. Whereas if you say, you know what, I made that, it cost me a dollar. They go, oh, simple. Yeah, they're really simple people. I think that's who we need to be. Jesus was that way. Paul was that way. Peter was that way. We must be discerning and walk in simplicity, not be caught up in the ways of the world. So we use our talents for God. Be careful what talents you say are from God. Running fast isn't a talent from God that you can use. Okay? It isn't. Well, you could use it to run away from a bear, or you could use it to run away from persecution, but you know, going into football, making money off that, that's worldly, that's carnal. Hone your talents and use them for the kingdom of God, and use them to make money if you need to, like men mostly, or single women. But it must be for God's glory. It must be under the guise of His word and His ways. Far too many allow the arts to rule them, become a hobby, become obsession, become greedy money-making things. It's not a good thing. It's a time waster. It can sweep you away. What should we set our minds on? Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That wouldn't be art, right? Yeah, things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I love that. So art we can use. Don't let it use us. Don't let it lift us up too much, our children or ourselves. Let us be lowly, meager, humble servants. What are you set on in your life today? What are your children set on? Are they just so enamored with drawing and sharpening their drawing skills? Or are they using their drawing skills to learn about God's word, His creation, animals, to grow them up to be godly saints who look for the Creator and the Savior? That should be our whole goal. And we model that in our children. So if we've got a idolatrous hobby, art hobby, or a job that is worldly and carnal in art, you're going to have your children walking right into that. No, you want to model for your children what it should be. So I hope all that helps you. I want to read you these last verses. I think most art, other than for children and other for good, pure, and true, if you're going to make a living off of it, most art is vanity and vain. Let me read this to you. Ecclesiastes 1, 1 through 11. In the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profiteth a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and the hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place where whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see this, it is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come. Art in the end. Think about it. I think it's a vain thing for the most part, unless we use it in the ways I described above. Ecclesiastes 1 talks about the vanity of things. I believe art in so, I would say, 90% of the forms I see it in the world, I think it's a vain thing. It's one of the reasons I decided to leave it. I do have a lot of art creativity inside me. I've used that energy and that time to focus on the kingdom of God. Was it flesh killing? It was. I made money at it. My ego was stroked when I did it, and I had to let it all go for the glory of God. So be very careful if you use art for your children. I think it's appropriate to do it. Pull it back quickly and soon as they're growing. Teach them to be godly adults following the kingdom of God, following Christ, coming to Him via repentance. Don't be swept away in material things. Don't be swept away in the creativity of humans. God gave us this creativity. We have to use it in a way that glorifies Him. We use it to provide for ourselves and our families, provide for the work of the ministry. We don't create things to lift ourselves up and to gain more earthly items. I hope that makes sense to you. I hope this was a value to you. I tried to round it out using God's word. I think we don't want to be overbearing and say you can never use art, but I think we have to be careful and realize most times art is another ditch that you can fall into, and it can sweep you away into things of the flesh and all the things of this earth that are nothing but vanity. I go back to what I said. Can you imagine Paul or Peter or Jesus taking up a hobby of art or getting swept away in the fine art of the world? Jesus was a carpenter. That's kind of an art form. He did it to provide for himself. Paul was a tent maker for a season. He did it to provide for himself. It wasn't worldly. It wasn't puffing them up. It was hand labor that got them along their way through this life as they sought the kingdom of God. I think that's what we need to be doing as well. So hope that blesses you. Go to don'tperish.com. Check all our resources. If you ever want to talk about art, my wife and I are very experienced in it from our past life, and we could help you walk through all of these things for God's glory. Shoot us an email. We'll go over the gospel first, and then we'll cover all those areas we can help you. Thanks for listening. Till next time, I hope you have a glorious day. We love you all. May God be praised.